Amen. I'll bring greetings to you in Jesus' name this morning. I want to Brother Kevin mentioned this morning in the children's class how that at that time the men who are called prophets were at that time called seers. He mentioned that, or asked the question, what it meant by being a seer. Excuse me. And someone said, one of the children said, it's someone who can see the future. Well, to the way some of the things we've been exposed to, whenever we think of someone seeing the future, our minds might go to some witch-looking creature looking over a crystal ball and predicting the future. Or we might think of a telephone service where you can call and have your future predicted, or something along those lines. Well, that's not what a seer does. A seer is able to see, in most cases, the situation and analyze it clearly and see what's going to happen. Prophecy is not someone just predicting the future like a weatherman would. Prophecy is a man being able to read the signs. Jesus talked about to the Pharisees. He rebuked them. He said, you can look at the weather. You can see that when the sky is red and lowering, that it's going to, next day it's going to rain, or something along that line. Sometimes we have south winds that blow, and if they blow for a few days, it usually means it's going to blow in some rainy weather. We can learn to discern the skies. But he said, how is it that you can discern the skies, but you can't see the times, the things that are going on around us? This morning, I was reading in some of the things that Jesus talked about concerning the end times, and it's pretty interesting to see how what things are going on, and also to see how man is responding to those things. We were, Marcus and I, were coming home the other night on the bus in Colombia, South America, in between the Bucaramanga and Barranquilla. It's a 10 or 11 hour or 12 hour bus ride. And they usually have a movie going all the time, and it's just blaring and loud. And usually it's just bombs going off and shooting and all kinds of things. But they had one of the movies, and it was about the The Day After Tomorrow, it was called. And it was about global calamities that are coming on the world. And it showed that what it was trying to do was scare people about global warming so that they can get a hold of their politicians and try to persuade them to act upon global warming. And they're blaming this on men causing global warming. Because they drive cars, or they've labeled carbon dioxide as a pollutant. And it's a few years ago, all we heard about was the ozone layer. And a few years before that, they were telling that the Earth was going into a new ice age. We were all going to freeze to death. About 30 years ago, that was the headlines all over. And they were trying to stir people up and scare them so that the government could come in and take care of them. Well, 30 years later, the articles are all the world's going to warm up and everybody's going to burn up now. And it's just switched around like that. But anyway, this thing was on there, and it just showed how the ice caps were melting and New York City was flooding and big tornadoes were wiping out California. And they showed the border of Mexico and the illegal aliens crossing, but this time it was the Americans trying to get to Mexico to flee from all this that was happening in America. And then it would show this, and the Mexicans were all up in arms screaming about border illegal aliens entering the country. And then they'd show the politicians, and of course the ones that were resisting going along, they were the bad guy, you know, because they weren't going along and trying to unite into a one world system to all battle this thing together. And then the next few days I came home and I read this passage here in Luke chapter 21. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And I just read those verses and I thought, well, that could have been the introduction to this thing that they had on the bus that they were showing the other night. They kept going back to the terrible storms that were coming on and the roaring waves of the sea just flooding everything, and men just being scared to death and their hearts failing for fear. This is what Jesus said was going to happen. But man, or Satan, has turned this to where people don't recognize things like this when the Bible says it, so that they can prepare to meet God and see this as a sign of Christ's soon return. But they take this and have man confused about writing your congressman, driving a car that you plug in instead of put gas in, or however different the environmentalist type things that you could do. If going green, recycling your aluminum cans and whatever else they do. And those things, there's nothing wrong in those themselves. But the problem is, it's a distraction. It's a confusion to put the idea on men and their lifestyles as opposed to putting their blame on man because of their sin and God's judgment that's coming upon this world. The Bible says that as the time grows closer, the earth will groan under the weight of sin. Whenever in the earliest, in Genesis and in the earliest laws that God gave, when a man shed blood, he was to shed his own blood, because that man's guilt, the blood that was spilled upon the ground would cry out for judgment. And so the offerings that people gave were to satisfy judgment, to satisfy justness. And as the world becomes more and more unjust, the earth is crying out more and more under the weight of sin. And these things are happening right in front of our eyes. Some of the people on the conservative side just mock it and say, oh, there's nothing happening, or it's just the sun changing. And it is. Some on the very liberal side are saying, oh, no, it's man causing all of this. And it is. But it's not because of the cars men drive or the things of that nature. It's because man has turned their back on their Creator. And God will destroy this earth. There is a global warming coming. The Bible says in Peter that this earth will be destroyed with a fervent heat. And if God chooses to use the sun to do that, or a burning away of the ozone layer, or whatever he chooses and however he chooses to do that, he will. But this political stuff that's used to divert men's attention from turning back to God is just a simple diversion to take men's thoughts off of their Creator and how they've offended Him. These things are coming upon the earth, and men's hearts are failing for fear of the things coming upon the earth. Jesus talked in several places where he talked about pestilence, earthquakes, in divers places. I think that's in Matthew. We'll just turn there and read it. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, seven. Yeah. Let's just begin at 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what sign shall be, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Take heed that no man deceive you." I don't know how many times he made that statement. Take heed that no man deceive you. Whenever they come at us with all their facts and figures from either side of the bench, conservative or liberal, however it is, it's all a deception if God isn't weighed into the mix. The conservatives will say, "Oh, man is so insignificant, he couldn't have anything to do with the world. And it's all the Son doing it." And they try to give God some credit about his great creation and how man is so small in this creation that how could he affect this world in that way? And they're right to that on that point. But they miss the idea, they miss the problem that Jesus is coming back and he's going to destroy this earth. And I believe it's in its stages, whatever stage it is, that God is destroying this earth. It's beginning to tremble and shake. Like a building that's just preparing to fall down. It's beginning to totter. It's beginning to crack. But man comes up with all these different answers. Or they laugh at it, or they mock it. Take heed that no man deceive you. It's real. It's happening. But we're not thinking about it happening. We're not watching these things as signs that... How many times do you hear about global warming? What do you think of? Probably mind either goes to one of two things. Oh, maybe I ought to do something to save the environment. Or maybe I ought to just fight against those trying to save the environment. But how often does your mind go to, that means Jesus is coming back? That's a sign that the Lord's going to return. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See not that ye be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There's wars, we hear about it all the time. I think there's 2 or 3 wars that this country's in right now. All over the world there's wars. Nation rising against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Famines. We know of places all over the world that they're starving, that they're hungry. Jerry made it to Abra, up to where Bless's mother lives, and haven't been able to contact him for a while. And he got up there and they don't have any food. They just had some rice. No salt, no sugar. Didn't have anything. There's famines going on all over the world. This is people that we just know about. pestilence. What's a pestilence? You ever heard of the pig flu? It's a disease that's passing all over the world. Everybody's scared to death. A few years ago, it was SARS. Chicken flu was going around a couple of years ago. Pestilence. Disease. I don't know whether it's as bad as they try to make it out to be, trying to scare people. What's the remedy? Well, everyone needs to go get them a shot. But they're all afraid whether the shot's even dangerous or not. There's a big fuss about that. So what happens? Where's the focus go? Goes on whether you're going to get sick because you didn't take a shot or whether you're going to get sick because you did take a shot. Which is the two evils? What are we going to do? What should we be thinking about? That's a sign. That's a promise that the Lord said some of these things are going to be coming upon us before He returns. They should turn our mind heavenward instead of looking for a man's remedy. It should cause us to think about God. It takes a calamity sometimes to shake us into reality. But woe when even a calamity won't turn us back to God. Remember a family in a church I was with one time. They had a little boy, one of their children got killed. And you talk about a family changing. They changed. They saw. It brought them, it woke them up. They saw little things as signs that God was trying to get their attention. This little boy had been flying a kite. Dad was really busy in business. This little boy had been flying a kite, got it stuck in a tree, and every day he'd come home and he'd ask his dad, "Will you help get my kite down?" And the dad said, "Oh, I can't. I'm too busy today. Too busy today." It went that way for a week or so. There was an accident and the little boy was killed. While they were coming back to the house, the kite was laying on the ground. It had blown out of the tree. Woke him up for a little while. Turned their minds to God. I've noticed that. Things like that used to turn men to God. But they don't hardly even do it anymore. There's a remedy now. There's a cause for it. You can go to a psychologist. And they'll tell you the reason why all that happened. You can go to a doctor. And say, "Oh, well, yeah, this is the reason that happened." You can find an engineer and tell you why the bridges collapsed. Or you can find a scientist somewhere that tells you why the ice poles are melting. Or the weather's changing. Whether it's getting hotter or colder or whatever it's going to do. There's an answer. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. When man has an answer for all of his problems, he doesn't need to look to God when Christ returned. His answers are satisfied. earthquakes in diverse places. We hear of typhoons, earthquakes, mudslides, fires running rampant. Every day there's a new calamity somewhere. And we hear about it. And we get so hardened to it. Unless it happens to us, and then we get worried about it for a little bit, and then it's always just somebody else. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. A lot of times we think of these false prophets as being preachers, and they're in abundance. But a false prophet's just someone who diverts you from the truth, whether he's wearing a doctor's cap or an engineer's calculator or a weatherman's balloon or whatever. If they're diverting your attention from the truth, they're a false prophet. Someone who sees can look through all of that and see the signs of what's happening and turn people to the Lord and turn their heart to the Lord. Many of them going on here and talks about the abomination of desolation that happened that Daniel's speaking about. You turn on the radio or the television or listen to a modern preacher, and they're all watching what's happening in Israel. They're just constantly ready for the temple to start being built there again. They're waiting. The Dome of the Rock is a sacred Muslim temple that's setting right on the place where the Jewish temple is supposed to be. And they're all watching that constantly, waiting for this temple to start being built, and then they'll know the Lord's going to return soon. Instead of preparing, instead of looking and watching and waiting, being ready for him to return, they're looking for a sign somewhere when it's right in front of their face. They're looking for their own prophecies to be fulfilled. We tell people we don't get deeply involved in the prophecies, the theologies of prophecy that we can determine when and where and what. Our goal is to be ready. Jesus said he's coming back. And he's given us things to look for. And to be ready for him to return. To be watching. Be diligently. Lest we be overtaken with surfeiting and drunkenness. Well, we think, well, we're not a surfeiter or a drunk. Well, what is drunkenness? It's a lack of sobriety. Lack of seeing what's real. Living in a delusional world. That's what drunkenness is. Seeing things clouded. Surfeiting is an abundance. Overdoing everything. We're to be sober. That doesn't mean you don't ever laugh. Doesn't mean that we can't enjoy ourselves sometimes. Soberness is seeing things as they really are. Being a seer. Being able to look at the signs and seeing what's coming. Back to Luke chapter 21:25. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Distress of nations. What do you think the banking crisis is? What do you think of whenever they talk about the national debt, the global recession, things like that? Oh, well, we better raise taxes. We better cut taxes. That's the answer, yeah. Focus. We better do something. Fix this economy. How many people see Jesus is coming when they hear things like this? Jesus said something about distress of nations, didn't he? Shouldn't that remind us that he's on his way back? If we see smoke, we see danger usually. I see smoke here. I see the Lord returning. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And when they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things happening, don't get all stirred up. Try to find an answer to fix the problem. Lift up your head. Look up. Your redemption's drawing nigh. This isn't our world. This world is not our kingdom. We're not sent here to fix it, patch it up, make it a better place. It's damned. It's going to be destroyed. And when you see it begin to happen, lift up your head. Look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. It's getting close. But then we get busy. Then we hear some bad news, see how we might fix it. Our eyes begin to fall down and look around us instead of looking up. We get caught up in this world again. Beware of false prophets. Be a seer. Let these things move you. Verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the earth, the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted full of grace. No, that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord add His blessings upon His words. May we take them to heart. Father, we come before You and thank You for Your word, simplicity of it. Help us apply it, Lord, as we lift up our eyes, look up, watch for our redemption draweth nigh, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for Your goodness, Your grace to warn us. Help us be diligent and faithful until You return. In Jesus' name.